The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Mark Pitts at KCHA Charles City and Scott Vanderhart at the Iowa Torch. Mark, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator Grassley, a second carbon pipeline has announced plans to take their pipeline through North Iowa, including here in Floyd County. What are your thoughts on the carbon pipeline industry, and what does it mean for Iowa's ethanol industry?
I think it's going to be very helpful in not only helping the ethanol industry. There are some other industries that maybe can tap into it, but it's also very beneficial environmentally because carbon capture is the essence of reducing greenhouse gases, and the extent to which industries under pressure to capture and to make it a valuable product is very important, and the pipeline makes that possible. I don't want to leave the impression that it's a savior of it, but when we're threatened with electric vehicles, maybe doing away with 43,000 jobs in Iowa that's connected with the ethanol industry, and I think 7,000 with biodiesel, everything we can do to help ethanol, we ought to. Shane.
Yes, Senator Grassley, the FDA just approved the use of the Pfizer vaccine of a lower dose for 5 to 11-year-olds to vaccinate them against COVID-19. What are your thoughts, and what would you say to parents who are concerned about giving 5 to 11-year-olds that vaccine when it seems like it's, you know, a lot of parents I'm talking to think it's unnecessary?
Well, they don't have to do it, and I would be opposed to any movement by government to make families do it. I think it's a violation of freedom, and I don't know that there'd be any sort of mandates that they would have to. If it did, in the case of kids that size, it would probably come from the schools, and I can't see the schools of Iowa requiring vaccination. And I think you'd find the state legislature and the Iowa governor opposed to that as well. In fact, I think you see kind of an anti-movement against too much government mandate when they passed a bill Thursday in the Iowa legislature when if a private employer makes you do it and you lose your job, you're going to be eligible for unemployment. So the best answer to your question is ultimately parents have to decide what's best for their kids. And that doesn't only deal with vaccine, but that kind of what I just said kind of applies as well to what the Attorney General is doing now, putting a chilling effect on parents going to talk about their kids' education with the school boards. Back to Mark.
Okay. Senator, related to that, with the governor's and the legislation to put people on, make them eligible for unemployment if they're lose their job because they don't get vaccinated. Doesn't that seem to fly in contradiction to the governor's Governor Reynolds' efforts to end the $300 government unemployment assistance earlier in the summer when she was trying to get people back to work?
I don't think I see the connection, but I don't want to conclude that there's no connection unless you. So I'm giving you an opportunity to challenge that I don't see the connection. If you want to tell me the connection as you see it, then I'll comment at that point.
Well, it seems to me to be contradictory from the standpoint that she was quick to end the extra $300 government assistance, extra COVID unemployment, but yet she's willing to give people the unemployment.
Well, you got to understand, we got 70 or 80 years of state unemployment, and that's quite a bit different than the federal government supplementing state unemployment with the $300 from the federal government, which actually employed people not to work. This is a case where people want to work and they might get fired because they aren't taking the vaccination. And I think that the governor sees it as a freedom effort. She doesn't want to tell employers what they can do with their business. But if somebody's hurt as a result of something they don't believe in, then they ought at least have the transition from one job to another that state unemployment gives them. Shane.
Yes, just wanted to ask you about the vaccine mandate for businesses with 100 or more employees, or alternatively, it could require masks and weekly testing. They're moving ahead with OSHA writing rules for that. And the American Trucking Association just said today that some of its members are mulling dropping government contracts altogether rather than impose vaccine mandate on their workers. Is the Biden administration policy, is that counterproductive to getting the supply chain going again?
Very definitely. And first of all, I don't think the president has the constitutional authority to do it. And if he asks Congress to give him that authority to do it, assuming that it would be constitutional even for us to do that, I wouldn't vote for that particular measure. But you're right. It will already there's extreme problems, maybe to 100,000, and some trucker told me maybe 200,000 drivers they need. And then you have, let's say, a third of them aren't vaccinated and they get fired, and the federal government's making that happen. Is that going to affect the supply chain? It's already affecting it because we don't have the drivers. It's just going to make a bad situation much, much worse. But let me tell you, where this is really going to be driven home, whether or not the federal government or New York City or wherever they're putting these mandates for vaccination in and you're going to get fired, today I think it goes into effect in New York. And if they lose a third of their ambulance drivers, where it's really going to hit home that this is bad policy, when people start dying because the ambulance isn't getting there fast enough, because people are being laid off from some stupid mandate by the mayor of New York. Mark.
Senator, another employment-related question. The John Deere strike coming to an end, ended rather quickly. Your thoughts on how closely you monitor that situation and what it means to the Iowa ag industry and the Midwest as well to get that strike ended.
I didn't monitor the details of it, but I'll bet it'll be approved by the union vote tomorrow. And I'm following how that union vote goes. For a guy like me that was a member of the International Association of Machinists from February 1962 until our plant closed down March of 71, I believe, I once voted on strike. And it's not easy to do that and not have a paycheck. So it's a very sensitive thing and probably hurt some families, but everything that was done by the union and management was done according to law, and people have a right to join unions. I joined a union and did go on strike. I don't recall too much of the details of it, but when you lose a paycheck, it's a very tough situation. So then, let's see, Shane, you'll have the last question.
All right. Just wanted to ask you about your conversation with Attorney General Garland. He stood by his memo related to the school board violence. Were you satisfied by some of the answers he gave? And what do you believe he should do in response to the kind of the blowback on this?
I was very dissatisfied with his response. And if you remember, 2016, I believe it was, I held up his, didn't hold a hearing on his nomination to go to the Supreme Court. I met with him at that time. I thought he was a decent guy. He's still probably a decent guy, but I think you show his performance before our committee last week shows that he wouldn't have been a very good person to have on the Supreme Court. Then in regard to what he did, he said he did it because of a letter that came from the National School Board Association. And we've had 20-some states object to what the National School Board Association did. And what he did, since the National Association was working with the White House, and presumably the White House had indicated to this, it violates the principle that he said he wasn't going to have the White House or DOJ be political. He was going to make independent judgment. He was going to be independent of the White House. It turned out to be very political and working, as I see it, hand in glove with the White House. And then consequently, several days later, the National School Board Association apologized, withdrew their letter. That's why he should withdraw this issue. He should withdraw his directive because it's a chilling effect on people going to the school boards. Parents ought to have a right to have a voice in the education of their kids. And that's why we elect school boards. And that's why we have school board meetings in Iowa be open meetings. And to sick the FBI and the National Security Division on these, it's a chilling effect. People might be afraid to go to the exercise their freedom of speech. It ought to be withdrawn, and I'm disappointed that he's not withdrawing it. And by the way, sometime later on this afternoon, if you tune in to C-SPAN, I'll be giving a speech on this subject. Okay, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Mark and Shane, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.